You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Although Sigmund Freud visited the U.S. just once in 1909, in the centuries since, he has appeared as a character in quite a few American novels. This evening, a panel discussion, Freud as fictional character for novelists at the Austrian Cultural Forum, brings together some of the writers who've included him in their books. It'll be held at 6:30 at the Forum at 11 East 52nd Street, and I'm pleased to welcome two of those writers, Seldon Edwards and Brenda Webster, to discuss why the great psychoanalyst makes such an attractive subject for writers of fiction. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Brenda, your novel, Vienna Triangle, is about a young graduate student in psychology, Kate Berg, whose family history intersects with Freud's circle. Why did you want to write a novel about Freud and his disciples?
Well, I really didn't have it in mind. I had written two psychoanalytic studies. I'd been sort of steeped in Freudian theory for many years. I'd written a memoir called The Last Good Freudian about my family's involvement with psychoanalysis. And I felt that I was actually done with it. I had written a gay love story, and I was going to do something else. But I was in Rome one day, and I was reading Thomas Mann's Lotte in Weimar about how the, and he was telling about how the great Goethe had sucked the life out of people around him and used it for his own purposes. And I thought, that reminded me of something I'd read about Tausk and Freud. And from then on, I thought, oh, I really wonder whether a genius cannot tolerate a great talent right near it.
Well, is it true that your mother was in therapy with a Freudian analyst 5 days a week for 30 years?
Yes, it is. Mariana Kriss, Dr. Mariana Kriss.
Who so was that might have affected your attitudes as well.
It definitely affected my attitudes, especially since she didn't get cured and she used up my whole inheritance.
Is it important to undergo analysis yourself to be able to write about this thing knowledgeably?
Not at all. I mean, I wouldn't think so.
Seldon, your novel is called The Little Book, and I understand that you spent more than 30 years writing it. Can you tell us about it and why it took you so long to finish it and get it published?
Well, I didn't intend the 30-year part. I wrote the first draft in 1975, and I tried to get it sold. I tried to sell it to a publisher's, and it didn't go anywhere, and so I got depressed and put it away. And about 5 or 6 years later, got it out again and did it again and wrote another draft and did that same thing. And I did this.
Did each draft respond to criticisms you'd received?
Yeah, and also thoughts I had in my head as I was driving her stuff. And I had the idea in my mind, and it became richer and richer each time. And Freud actually, it's a time travel story of this character, Wheeler Burden, who wakes up in the morning in Vienna in 1897. And originally, I intended it to be a thriller because he was going to encounter the child Hitler and could contemplate killing the child Hitler. That was my whole story. And Freud wasn't really in it too much, but because he was there at the time and because I had a fascination with the whole idea of psychoanalysis and what it brought to the world, he crept in, and from draft to draft he took a bigger and bigger part.
But it could just as easily have been Adler or Jung, couldn't it? Or well, does it have to
Freud's,
be Freud?
Freud's the giant. I mean, Freud is the Darwin, and you can't – I don't think you can read about that period without having him in mind, and he was the pioneer and the great one.
I remember reading an awful lot of novelists who were influenced by Freud when I was a kid, and I had a teacher in high school who taught Hamlet as an example of the Oedipal complex. Is it fair to say that there's a dividing line in fiction, pre-Freud and post-Freud? Because we understand characters differently
well,
as
I guess,
a result?
And the moderns, you know, with the stream of consciousness and people, the surrealist writers using...
Eugene O'Neill doing,
you know, his family drama, psychodramas. And yeah, I would say definitely he's everywhere after a certain point.
Well, when you're using a historical figure...
Let me just add on that point. I am an English teacher. I was an English teacher, and I taught American literature to high school kids. The Scarlet Letter is a fascinating Freudian study. Of course, at the time, nobody understood that, and it was very influenced by Puritan values and things. But there is some of, and of course, Moby Dick, there is some very strong psychological, there are themes earlier on, but I think you're right in saying that it didn't become the modernist idea that it is until after Freud.
When you're using a historical figure in fiction, especially someone as well-known as Sigmund Freud, do you have a responsibility to get all the details exactly right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I was very careful to try to base it on facts as much as I could, but the facts are kind of shifty in the case of particularly of Tausk and Freud and what happened. But I tried to read all the research, and then I had to see for myself to set the characters in motion as characters and see where they would go.
Now, Freud wrote down pretty much everything that happened between him and a patient. What happened with Victor Tausk?
Well, the thing that happened with Victor Tausk was that Victor Tausk had been away in the war, had been a disciple for a long time, had taught Freud's theories at the university, and then had come back from the war rather exhausted and needing help and asked Freud to analyze him. Freud refused because he had all kinds of paranoid feelings about Tausk, which he has recorded, that Tausk could read his mind, that Tausk was stealing his stuff, that Tausk would preempt, you know, various things. And
it's kind of scary that a man who was a therapist would think that somebody could read his mind.
Yes, it is. Well, he had various thoughts about the uncanny, which his later people have tried to kind of shovel under, and it is. And then he gave a task to a younger woman to analyze, Helena Deutsch, who was a beginner and who was in analysis with Freud herself. And then after 3 months, he said, look, this isn't working. Either I terminate you or you terminate him. And naturally, Helena Deutsch, in the beginning, there was nowhere else to turn. She had to do it, though it was a bad thing to do. And 3 months later, Tausk killed himself. Mm. So Freud did not have notes about him because he never did him.
And why did you see this as something that would make for a good novel? I understand the dramatic.
I don't think that way. I was interested in, for my own benefit, playing out these characters as characters and seeing what I thought their motives were after I lived with them.
Now, Selden, you have a lot of scenes set in Freud's apartment at 19 Bergasse in Vienna. Did you go there to see it?
I did. I didn't visit Vienna until about almost 20 years into the project, but I did go, and his home has been preserved. Actually, and also there's a wonderful book that has all the photographs that were taken. So I did make that part pretty accurate.
Now, your book takes place in 1897. Brenda's in the years leading up to World War I. Was Freud still relatively unknown in 1897?
Well, that, as you said, that visit to America was very important in 1909. But he was well known within circles in Vienna and very controversial, but not the wild popularity that he came to after his visit to America, I think.
Would it have been relatively easy for someone like your time traveler, Wheeler, to get Freud to take him on as a patient? And then he also provides him with room and board.
Well, Wheeler figured out that if he could just get into Freud's presence, he would be very attractive to him because Freud would treat time travel as a hysteria. There's no way that Freud would accept time travel as a phenomenon.
And he would imagine that all of the descriptions of San Francisco in 1988 would simply be the product of a very fertile imagination.
Yes. And so he thought that if he could just get in his presence, he could get his room and board just because. So it's sort of Scheherazade idea. And it was a gimmick by Wheeler Burden to try to support himself because he had no way to support himself in the beginning.
And it's very clever the way he does it, and that permits him also to criticize some of Freud's fixation on the great idea, for instance, because he wanted undying fame, and he gets to say a lot of things about Freud in the process.
Did you give Kate, your character, the last name of Berg because of Bergasse?
No.
Just coincidental?
Just coincidental.
But you set your novel in the years leading up to World War I, Freud is famous. And this is also a rough time for him because this is around the time when Jung had just broken away from him.
And Adler had broken away from him. And he had people rumbling and threatening, you know, because he was so authoritarian. And it had to be my way or out. And he wouldn't tolerate any independence of mind, which is why it turned out, from my opinion, that Tausk was so dangerous to him, he thought, mm-hmm. because Tausk was so brilliant. And Tausk would say, oh, we're thinking about this. Let me just take it a little further. And then he would go take it further and publish it. You know,
well, and, Tausk had also been a therapist.
Yeah.
It has to be weird when a therapist is doing therapy on a therapist.
No, but they do that all the time.
But still, you're talking to somebody who's very sophisticated about the whole process.
Yes.
Both of your novels have relationships between parents and children at their center. Is it possible to write about these relationships anymore without Freud's theories creeping in?
Well, I don't need... I personally don't go with the Oedipus complex anymore, but I was very interested in my novel about mothers and daughters, and I didn't really... Well, I don't know. Yes, I suppose I was... I keep saying that I'm not a Freudian anymore, but people have said that, in fact, just the way I think is Freudian and the way I analyze the relations between the people.
Well, so. You mentioned Helene Deutsch. A reviewer claimed that she was the person who coined the term penis envy.
I didn't know that. I know Phyllis Greenacre coined the term penis awe, but I don't know who did penis envy.
In your book, Selden, when Wheeler travels back to 1897, he not only meets... but falls in love with the woman who later becomes his grandmother, and he becomes embroiled in an antagonistic relationship with his grandfather.
All of which is
very Freudian.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it's funny how this story evolved over the years. Freud wasn't really in it in the beginning, and as Freud became more and more of a character, also all these other dimensions of the plot started to emerge that became extremely Freudian. There's a little tiny problem of incest in my story. And, you know, you sort of step back and say, well, Freud's a major character, duh, you know. It's going to have some of that in it. But it's funny how the two sort of evolved together, the complexity of the relationships and the rise of Sigmund Freud as a character, in my mind, sort of, you know, coincided. So,
Angela van der Lippe, who wrote The Truth About Lou, about Lou Andreas Salome, will also be on the panel tonight, along with Jed Rubenfeld, who wrote The Interpretation of Murder, in which Freud helps solve a murder when he's visiting New York. But Lou Andreas Salome also makes an appearance in your book.
Well, I do. I structure it, or it turned out to structure itself, that there are two triangles, one between Lou Salome, Freud, and Tausk, and one between Helena Deutsch, Freud, and Tausk. And Freud is jealous of the relationship of Tausk and Lou, and that's one of the motivations he has for refusing to analyze him, for being angry at him. And the other is the fear about Tausk anticipating his theories.
Do you think Americans are more fascinated with Freud than the Europeans are? For example, Irving Stone wrote a fictional biography of him called Passions of the Mind. E.L. Doctorow used Freud as a character in Ragtime. And Europeans often say that Americans have much more likely to go into therapy than they are.
Well, the French have gone off onto the route of Derrida and Lacan and taken it a step further. I think that is more Freudian than Freud, more sort of concentrated on the penis and the phallus and so on and so forth. So they haven't given it up by any means.
Also, I think because of the rich Puritan tradition and Calvinist tradition in our country, there was ripe material for a Freudian move. And definitely that 1909 appearance here had a huge effect, and he became extremely popular, and psychoanalysis became popular as a result of that. So there is something in the American character that definitely lent itself to that movement.
Well, the panel discussion that we're talking about, Freud as fictional character for novelists at the Austrian Cultural Forum, will be held at 6:30 tonight at the Forum, which is located at 11 East 52nd Street. And the participants are Angela, what's her name again?
Oh,
Angela
van der Lippe.
Also Jed Rubenfeld. And the two people I've been talking to, Selden Edwards and Brenda Webster. And I want to thank the two of you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leonard.